Hello, welcome to YouTube Success. My name is Matt Hughes, King of Video, and I'm here with Louise Brogan. Louise, that is how you say your name, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Just had to check for a minute there. My brain went, Matt, you've just pronounced the name wrong. Always does this to me. So I'm here with Louise. Louise is, well, I tell you what we normally do, Louise, is we get our guests to introduce themselves, and then sure. I'll add a bit of padding around it if I don't feel like you've sold yourself well enough, but I'm sure you're good enough at doing this. You know, a lot of people, when I ask them to introduce themselves, they just don't make out that they're amazing. And I'm always disappointed about that. So go for it. Tell us what you do and we can talk about why we got you here.
Okay. So I run a LinkedIn marketing agency. We are based in Belfast, Northern Ireland. However, we don't have any Northern Irish clients. We work with clients from all over Europe and North America, a few from Australia and New Zealand. And we help people. My goal really is to help people understand how to use LinkedIn for business. That's everything it's about. And that's from my free content to my paid services that we offer, training, workshops, and done for you services. I'm in business 11 years Amazing. This year. And I switched over to LinkedIn about 5 years ago. So originally it was social media management across all social media. And I actually had a great relationship with Facebook at one time where I was hosting business breakfasts on behalf of Facebook and Instagram in Northern Ireland. And then I decided to niche down to LinkedIn for a couple of different reasons, but mainly because being niche down in social media is just a good idea, really, and allowed me to focus on it. And I'm also a small business champion in the UK, which I love. I get to go to the House of Lords and swan about having canapes and champagne with other small business owners. And a year and a half ago, Matt, I got invited to meet the King because of that. So I was invited to Buckingham Palace to meet King Charles in recognition of my work with small businesses in the UK. So the small business work is all voluntary stuff that I do. And the main business is LinkedIn, whether it's done for you or teaching you how to do yourself.
Wicked. Well, I mean, there's definitely no padding I need to add there. I think that all sounds very impressive enough. So small business champion, is that a role that you're given? How do you end up doing that?
Yeah. So in 2017, I entered the Small Business Saturday Top 100. It's not an award as such, but basically they focus on 100 businesses every year in the run-up to Small Business Saturday, which is the first Saturday in December. So I applied to be in that and I was successful. So that was in 2017. And they liked me and they asked me to do some webinars for them. And then they asked me, would I be one of their champions? So I've been a champion for them since before the pandemic. And they made me their Small Business of the Year during the pandemic, which was hilarious. So I was at home. I'd just been out like with my son horse riding or something. So it was whenever we were all allowed to be out and about, we weren't really traveling. So I was sitting in my house in my sloppy trackies type of thing. And there's a knock at the door and there's the Small Business Saturday guys live streaming announcing me as their Small Business of the Year. And I was like,
give me a minute.
But it's gonna be good.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, I don't watch TV anymore, but it's like those shows that they do on the Saturdays and they get people and they're always in the gymmers or the Wonder, whatever.
It's like, oh my God.
I need to get some lippy on or whatever it is that you do.
Hilarious. It was hilarious.
Okay, well,
they were lovely. And luckily, it was only live streamed to their community. Thank heavens.
Good. Well, I mean, I hear that story and it's although it sounds really impressive, actually, the way you describe it sounds really just like it's normal. And it's not normal at all of these things that you've achieved. And I think, I asked about the small business champion thing because I think all of the people that I speak to on this podcast are champions of small business. Mm. So not necessarily they maybe have an official title or they've not got that backstory really. But the great thing about the creator community in general is, for the most part, we're all doing stuff actually that we really love doing. And so it kind of feels weird that we get paid to do it as well. And so therefore, everyone I speak to in the creative community is really happy to be doing it. It's not like you're stuck in a corporate job that you hate.
No.
So good. So thanks for sharing that. And just like some of the other guests I've had, we've had Judy Fox, who's LinkedIn as well. It feels weird having a LinkedIn person on YouTube, but we've got a really nice YouTube journey to share. You're a speaker at TubeFest as well for this same reason. And so what I really wanted to do is dig into this. And what we just talked about backstage was how people like you and me, who are classed as small creators. There's a guy whose name I forget right now who started the hashtag no small creator. I think a small creator is defined as like less than 100,000, which seems ridiculous to me anyway.
Oh my Lord.
Or maybe it's less than 10,000. So maybe you've gone past that. But the point is we are in a position where we can be great examples for people that are getting started, people that are thinking about this. And in your case, YouTube wasn't the focus, actually LinkedIn was the focus, like you say, and you've grown to 10,000 subscribers. So can we talk about then your YouTube journey and how that all came about?
Love to. So I'll cover a little bit about this at TubeFest. So I love that I have a YouTube channel and I have all these people who message me and ask me questions on YouTube. It's like a wonderful part of my business. And it actually has ended up bringing leads to me. But during the pandemic, it was 2020, I started this. So I was in a little mastermind group with five people. There's five of us all together. I called it my English mastermind. So there's three guys in England, a woman from Australia, and me in this little group. We had actually formed a mastermind before the pandemic. So when the pandemic hit, we were like a lifeline to each other. And in that group, there's two guys who are really big on YouTube.
And who are they? Can you name them all?
Yeah, absolutely. So Tom Martin, who started the BBC's YouTube channel, and Luke Sharon, who so Luke's on a video marketing agency, but his personal YouTube is all about fitness and Marvel characters.
yeah, really fascinating. Actually, I don't know if I've told you this because you must have told me about Tom before, but the first time I went to VidSummit in the US, the first session I saw was Tom Martin's, and he was a British guy, and I was like, oh, there's a British guy here, and it blew me away. He did like a keyword thing. I did ask him to speak at TubeFest actually, but he said he wasn't really doing that stuff anymore. But it blew me away, and he built like this whole channel around barbecue food. And he was like, I'm going to give away this channel. I've done all the research. It's going to get loads of subscribers, but I don't want it. It's just for the presentation. But oh, that's fascinating that you were in that together. And then, of course, Luke's channel has grown massively as well, isn't it? So
Luke actually was in the – he does a lot of YouTube shorts, and he was in the shorts – program thing that they did. Oh, nice. I don't know the proper terminology for it. But yeah, he's made a ton of money from his channel. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yes. And then they said, Louise, you should do a YouTube channel about LinkedIn. And I'm like, ooh. Well, it turned out, Matt, that I had tried YouTube previously and I'd done some videos about Facebook. And I got an email from YouTube one day to say, your video has passed, I don't know, like 1,000 views or 2,000 views. I'm like, what video? And I said to Tom about it, and he went, Louise, you've got a YouTube channel and you didn't realise.
Do you know how many people I hear that they say that and they're like, oh, let me just have a look. And they log in and they're like, oh, my God, I've got 70,000 views on this video from seven years ago.
So he said, I think you could really give this a go. So it was the pandemic. I've got three teenagers. They were at home. And, you know, people with little kids during the pandemic had to do a lot of hand-holding. But when they're teenagers, they are kind of getting on and doing their own work themselves. So I'm like, I might as well give it a go. Sure, what else am I going to do locked up in the house all day? So I started making videos and it was hilarious because I had no idea what the heck I was doing. And then people started to comment on it, on the videos. And it was always, I've always come at it from, how can I create a video to answer a question on how to use LinkedIn?
Yeah.
And the comments I get, Matt, from people are things like, I love how you explain that so clearly, Louise. Lots of people say, I don't like those other videos where people are like jumping around and waving their arms in the air. It says, we watch your video and you literally answer the question that I wanted to ask. So I started it and I was getting a buzz out of it, right? It was fun. And then I thought, oh, I need to hit this 1,000 subscriber thing. And then I need to hit this 4,000 watch hours thing. And then I started to like get some serious traction. And it was really funny. I spoke at Uplift Live, which was the UK's first LinkedIn conference. It was in 21st of March, just only a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And all the other LinkedIn speakers, there's seven other speakers, they were all like, Louise, how have you cracked this YouTube thing? Like, you know, they're half of them are posting videos on YouTube and they're getting nothing. They're getting nowhere. And I'm like, well, maybe it's my personality. I like to learn how to do things. And it's still, like I said to you, Matt, it's a baby channel. You know, I have 10,000 subscribers, which I know is tiny compared to most YouTubers. But to the other people who are in my space, they are all looking at me going, how the heck did you make that work?
Okay, well, that's fascinating. And I'll come back to that in a second.
Yeah.
Can we just talk about your strategy? What?
Yeah.
You said you started in 2000, or you got serious about it in during lockdown. Did you have a strategy? Did you think about it strategically, or did you just think, I'm just going to post some videos?
Well, I did think about it strategically. I did think, I wanted to learn how to do it properly. I did outsource thumbnails to people on Fiverr for a while. And then I thought, I'm sure I can do this myself. So I think while the channel wasn't making any money, I wasn't prepared to put any money into it.
Yeah.
And I did meet Austin Armstrong in San Diego when we were at Social Media Marketing World, who is one of the other speakers. I'm really, I'm so excited to see the other speakers at TubeFest because I feel like I'm going to learn so much from them.
Yeah.
And he said to me, I said, you know, this is where I'm at with the channel. It's really small, but I am getting business leads from it. And he said, well, Louise, the channel could be your whole business. And yeah. I'm like, I don't think so. I don't think that's possible. And he says, absolutely, it could be. He says, you know, if you start to invest, you know, in getting professional editing help, please don't pitch me, anybody watching this. And I thought, yes, so, I can see that being the case in the future. But right now I'm building a LinkedIn business.
Yeah.
You know, and we do, and you can't focus on different things. So the strategy for the channel turned into, here is somewhere to send people who don't want to pay for our services. And that's genuinely, that's what I see it as, because if you think about the small business champion work that I do, a lot of those webinars I do for the small business community, those are small startups. They are what Americans call the mom and pop shops.
Yeah.
They don't have the money to spend to outsource their LinkedIn work, but they want to ask me questions and I want to help them, but I don't want to spend, I don't want to say, oh yeah, you can get on a call with me and pick my brain for half an hour for free, you know, three times a week.
Yeah.
I don't really have time to do that because I have a team and a business to run. So instead, I thought, well, why don't I just answer all their questions and make videos out of them? And because I know these are the questions people have, then more people are going to watch those videos, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of been the strategy. It's been like a resource that I can send people to. But then about a year and a half ago, it changed a little bit for me because I started getting what I call a different level of followers on YouTube, a different, like this senior people at the big companies, like the head of venture capital for one of the big accountancy firms in the UK found me through YouTube.
Okay.
A client found me through YouTube because he was in China and he was looking for answers to questions about LinkedIn. The head of security for one of the big, what do you call it? Is it gang? The Google, Apple, whatever.
Yeah.
Like the head of their security found me through YouTube. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. Somebody who was then the head of LinkedIn advertising in Dublin found me through, you know, so these bigger power players, I guess, in industry were starting to connect with me and they would all say, well, we found you on YouTube. And I thought, oh, there's more to this than me just answering questions and sending my lovely small business friends yeah. this content for free. So I need to take this a bit more seriously. So I'm starting to do more strategic content on the channel that is around how to use LinkedIn company pages and how to use LinkedIn from that larger corporation point of view. But of course, Matt, that doesn't get as many views. So it's like you're in a juxtaposition here because if I create lots of videos on how to write your LinkedIn profile, how to write a LinkedIn post, how to message someone on LinkedIn, how to post on LinkedIn. those videos get thousands of views, but don't bring me any business.
Okay.
Well, whereas, sorry.
Yeah. Look, there's so many things I've got to dig into here.
Sorry, I'm stopping.
It's all right. It's all right. Because it's really important. And I've been just making notes to talk about these things. Because I feel like I'll talk to you for hours if I don't ask some of these questions. I want to talk about the first thing, which is here's where to send people who can't afford me.
Yeah.
That is such an abundant way of thinking. And it is so hard for a lot of people that are not in an abundant mindset.
Mm.
And I just assume everyone knows what I mean by that. For anyone that doesn't know, your mind is in one of two places most of the time. It's either in lack or abundance. And if you're in lack, it's in a position where I've been before, where I've been in debt. And I always describe it as this cloud over me that this financial cloud that stops me thinking about things in a really positive way because I'm always worried about money. When you get into abundance and you don't think about that, and I'm just talking about this from a financial point of view, you suddenly start to see the world in a different way. And the way you describe that, here's where to send people who can't afford me. The reason why that's abundant is because you're giving away your stuff for free. And it's probably one of the biggest objections people have with YouTube is like, what happens if I give away all my stuff? Will people just not hire me? And actually, you recognize that you couldn't help those people at the lower end, lower financially, not as people. I want to make that clear. So you just gave them the content. And so you delivered value to them first. And of course, a lot of those smaller businesses, those mom and pop shops, some of them end up big businesses. And so you help them in 2000 in the pandemic when they can't open their shop. And in 2 years' time, when they can afford you because things have opened back up again, they go, I remember Louise. Louise is the one that helped me when things were really bad for us.
Yeah. And I think as well, there's, you know, I've said to people say, in fact, I had a sales call a week and a half ago, Matt, with an organization. It's quite a big organization. And they were talking to me about LinkedIn training and doing several sessions of LinkedIn workshops for them and their staff, you know, like from senior level on. So there'd be multiple workshops. Yeah. So it'd be a really good contract to win. And I just said to them, everything I will teach you, you can learn for free on my YouTube channel.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that actually won me the contract because they were like, well, it shows integrity and honesty, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And companies who have the budget don't want to sit and work through YouTube videos. Yeah. They want you to come and deliver it bespoke to them. And that's something I learned as well. You know, Gavin, the guy in China, and I've checked with him, he's going to be on my presentation. He's okay with that.
Yeah.
You know, everything that I have talked to him about, he could sit and do on his own, but he is busy off building this global business and didn't want to have to do that. So he wanted to outsource and pay for our services, and he did for a year, but he could have sat and did it all himself. But that's not his, it's not that it's not his skill set because he could have learned it. He is just on a different level of the business. And that's, I think, I've been in business 11 years. And when I started out, if I think about the clients that I started working with, they were a Pilates instructor, a local businessman who owned 3 kebab shops, really fabulous, fabulous businesses. And now I'm working with global learning and development companies.
Yeah.
You know, my clients' turnovers are in the 7 and 8 figures. And I think when you start out in business, if someone had said that to me 10 years ago, I'd be like,
no way.
Don't be ridiculous.
I'm going to get a call from China to go and deliver some training. No way.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, what? It's crazy. And you learn, you know, and I have the luxury of being in business that long that it has come incrementally. And with the YouTube journey, I think I started off thinking, could I do this? But also, Matt, you know, I'll be 50 this year and I get a real kick out of being a woman who's going to be 50, who's a YouTuber.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we're in the majority.
I think it's a growing area is older people, but still nothing towards what the gamers and a lot of the younger people are doing. That's kind of a natural area for them. And again, I get that as an objection quite a lot as well, is like, why would I start a YouTube channel? I'm 40, you're almost 50. And I think that's why I want to see us as like inspirational or aspirational people, because we're doing it anyway. You know, like you can sit and complain about how old you are, but actually from my perspective, and actually from your corporate client's perspective, age brings experience. And you say 11 years. So if you're almost 50 now, you was 29. Hold on. No, that's my wrong.
39
when you started. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And again, the way you described it is like, I couldn't have imagined getting those kind of contracts at that point. But there was someone else that was 35 who was doing that already.
Yeah.
So it's just experience. And the experience can be, you can have it in your 20s. If you're fortunate enough to have made good decisions in your 20s, I was too busy having kids and getting drunk, or you can get it a bit later on. And I think that's massively important, is understanding where the value is. And actually the other thing about your clients now is they understand the value of having the person in the room. They know that the quick route to success is not learning by yourself. It's a route to success. If you've got no money and you can't make the investment, you can learn anything now. Everything is out there. And you can just get on the ladder. But if you're further ahead and you've got the money and the funds to invest, you want to get the best people to give you the best strategies right now. I need to do it now, and I want to pay somebody to give me that shortcut to success. So that's what you're getting. It's great to see that that's happening. And I love what Austin said to you as well. I've made a note of Austin's point, because Austin is a fascinating guy. Again, when I'm playing down our roles on YouTube, when you meet somebody like Austin, so for anyone that doesn't know Austin Armstrong, he's got something like 600,000-700,000 subscribers across every platform, pretty much. And he's the kind of person that you meet.
So unassuming.
Yeah, he's not only is he a very humble guy, he will sit and drink with you. Mm. Like, he's a great person to hang around with. I expect to see him in the bar at the after party. But he doesn't have any limiting belief about content. And I think a lot of the time when people look at YouTube, perhaps you experience this a little bit at the start as well, is thinking like, it's not for me, because why would I do that? I'm the LinkedIn person, I'm doing this thing, like YouTube's not for me. Actually, the thing you had, the benefit you had right at that point, is Tom and Luke.
Yes,
they were your people that were through that glass ceiling, that said to you, shut up, Louise, come on, get on with it, this is for you. This is absolutely for you. So you need that mentor or somebody to help you power through, right?
Yeah. And do you know what's the funny thing about it is, when they look at, when Luke and Tom, you know, because we are good friends, when they, if they look at my, the money, the rate, what's the rate called for 1,000 views?
The cost per click.
Like, it's phenomenal compared to what they're getting.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Your niche is the right niche. Yeah.
Because of the niche I'm in. And I got a message from, so Mark Williams is Mr. LinkedIn in the UK. He has had the LinkedIn Forum podcast, now called Inform Podcast, for 6 years or something. And he messaged me and he said, Louise, you have got the most desirable job in the world. It's what all the kids want. You're a YouTuber.
Yeah, absolutely. And
that was hilarious.
And the other great thing about it as well, and another thing that people fail to recognize, is right at the start, you talked about, you know, I needed to get to that 1,000 subscribers and the watch hours and that kind of thing. And people really focus on the numbers. And again, you talked about it, like, those corporate numbers are much lower. When you're doing the content for those corporate clients, are much lower.
Oh, yeah, so much lower.
But there's two things there. The first one is that you realize that you needed to get to 1,000 subscribers, but you know it's compounding. Everything you do is compounding. So as long as this channel is growing, it's not dead, it's not flatlined. Even if it's grown by a little bit, over time, as you've demonstrated, 4 years, you've got to 10,000 by being consistent across that.
Yeah, the growth is literally, it's like that.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, because even my husband, he's, like, my family are also supportive of what I do and always have been. They don't quite get it. And, you know, I said to him, the growth is going like this. And he says, oh, I thought it'd be like that. I said, no, it's not. It's more like that. That curve and in math, and I'm not a mathematician, but it's the growth is just, it's very different to anything else. The way it grows.
So if you look at if you look at your LinkedIn connections, your followers and stuff, that would do the same. It has the same sort of growth because it's compounding. But if you look at I think a lot of the views and stuff on other platforms, it tends to go up and down. But I wanted to talk about the corporate thing because you said something as well. Yeah. Like, and this is, we talk about vanity metrics and valuable metrics, or at least I do. Don't really like the word vanity metrics. And the way you described it in a vanity way because you were like, well, I do these profile review things and they get loads of views. And then I do the corporate strategic stuff and they get less views, which is vanity. But I wanted to just say, which I know you know, so I apologize for saying it, but you know that those videos that get less views are more valuable to you.
Yeah.
Because you only need one corporate client for that view to be worth 20 grand compared to a profile review or something that it might be a someone that joins your membership. Have you got a membership?
No, I haven't. I haven't got my book. I'm writing a book at the minute about LinkedIn, and my book coach said, Louise, you need a smaller level, entry level, but I haven't got one.
Okay. Well, even you know, yes, you should have one. Definitely. Everyone should have a membership. Those people that do the
program, they don't buy anything from
me. They'll come in at a membership level. It might not be as valuable to you in financial terms, but they're also, a lot of those people are also your big advocates. The corporate people are not going to sing and shout about you as much. Of course, they'll recommend you, which is great. But the other ones engage with you. They're so delighted to be around you and all that kind of good stuff as well.
Well, that very thing happened today, Matt. So on LinkedIn today, a coach friend of mine in America, who's in, I want to say North Carolina or Virginia, maybe, she literally, out of the blue, I didn't ask her to, she just posted about, people ask her about LinkedIn, you know, does she get business from LinkedIn? And she said, I just want to direct you all to Louise Brogan. She's my go-to for everything LinkedIn. She has a brilliant channel and you just go learn everything from her. And that happens regularly.
Yeah.
Now, which is wonderful. So other people send people to it as a resource as well. So it's not just me saying here's a free resource. Like people in my network are also sending people there as well, which is really cool.
Yeah, and it has so much brand equity and authority equity, actually, because if you think about that scenario normally, and you've been in lots of events like I have, you meet someone, they might say, we talked about it when we were at the airport that time. I was talking to you about your book coach and you was like, oh, it's this person. Go and follow them and chat to them and that kind of thing. So I would naturally go to LinkedIn and connect with them or wherever. The difference with sending someone to a channel is there's loads of valuable content there straight away. And what you do with that then, if I went to someone's LinkedIn profile, I probably wouldn't go, oh, I'll go and tell loads of my friends about this. Just send them the profile randomly. But if I went to a YouTube channel, I'd be like, oh, this is really valuable. Oh, I've learned loads in this, you know, 10 reasons why you should do this thing. I'll share it with my friends. So the natural way of people sharing your content and therefore adding to your compounding effect of growing your channel, it's just huge. It's just so different to, you know, tagging someone in a post as it might be.
Yeah.
Not that that's not valuable as well, you know. Okay. So I want to just to sort of wrap this up really. As I said, I could talk to you loads about this. What I want to try and understand then with TubeFest, if people want to come and see your session, are you talking about a bit of this strategy stuff? What else are they going to get from you, Louise?
Yes. So I'm going to tell a little bit about my story, but how those leads actually have turned into business from YouTube. So it's not, you know, it's the people who connect with me because they found me on YouTube and how that has actually changed into business and the way that has developed in a really quite an organic way, but there is strategy behind it. But I also want to talk about, I do a lot of video on LinkedIn and I have this methodology, I guess, called COPE, which is how to cope with video, because actually, Matt, a lot of people are terrified of doing video. Yeah. And I've seen people say, how can I do a YouTube channel and not be on the video? And yeah, you can, of course you can. So the COPE strategy is create once, publish everywhere, and how I'm taking the video content and kind of putting the two together, because it is my audience is a B2B audience, and how do I combine YouTube with LinkedIn that gets me more business as a result? So it gets becoming a lot more strategic around that stuff. So I'm going to talk about that as well as how, you know, the lessons I've learned, the mistakes I've made, things that have bombed, things that, you know, advice I've taken and ignored, and advice I've taken and followed that hasn't worked. all of that good stuff.
Good. And I'm really excited about that. And I love Cope, Create Once, Publish Everywhere. I've written that down as well. I think that you've benefited definitely from having good people around you. That has helped.
Yeah.
So I'm always a big advocate of that. We've got our own community called the Creator Meetup. And we had our first virtual networking event today, which was amazing. And I think one thing that I'll say to kind of wrap up is that I know from spending time with you, Louise, you're so giving with your time. And I think your YouTube channel is a testament to that. You know, you're describing it as a place where people can go and get this content, especially if they can't afford me. It's a really core value for me, is like making sure that everything you do is inclusive, regardless of people's circumstances. And it's so nice to see that actually what's come off the back of that is the reward of getting to 10,000 subscribers. The people coming to you time and time again now referencing the fact that they've consumed this content. And wouldn't it be so sad? You mentioned faceless channels there, and we do talk about that a little bit in my community, but wouldn't have been, would it have had as much of an impact if your face wasn't on there?
No. And, you know, you can't be precious about yourself either, Matt. No. You know, I'm not a bubbly 25-year-old.
Yeah.
Not anymore. But actually, it lands with my clients, you know, because they feel like I'm somebody they could work with as well. So it works, you know. I'm going to talk all about it. Anybody who's watching, you know, who wants to send me questions, because I think a lot of people are like, I want to try this, I want to make this work.
Yeah.
And actually, one of the things you said earlier about being a bit older, I actually think I'm trying to convince a couple of my family members to consider doing this, because I see it as a way to consistently earn money, you know, even after you want to take early retirement. Like,
yeah,
you know, to me, it's a really, it's not easy, but once you learn how to do it, it's a really nice income, extra income stream. Yeah.
And it takes a while to get to that. I mean, I talk to people. There's a few unicorns I know in the YouTube space that blow up really quickly, but I'd never sell it as like, this is the route you should take. But really, the only way you're going to get to that income stream is to start now for your 5-year-old later journey. You know, I watched a session. It was Ali Abdul. Do you know Ali Abdul? Ever come across Ali?
Is he a doctor?
Doctor turned YouTuber, yeah.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So I'm trying to get Ali on the podcast. It'll be very hard. I tried to get him to speak at TubeFest, but it didn't work out. But hopefully a future TubeFest will get him there. I went to a thing with him and Daniel Priestley the other day, and Ali talked about the fact, I'll make it really brief, but he basically said he spent £350,000 on a house in Manchester, and his yield on that, his return for that was 10 grand a year. So in order to get his money back, it's going to take 35 years. Obviously, there's creative ways you get your money back, but that's one of the things. Of course, it will appreciate in value and all that kind of stuff, hopefully. But he said one of his videos earns more than that every month.
That's not bad, yeah.
And his affiliate revenue, he talked about, he's got a course on Skillshare and it earns him like £3,000 or £4,000 a month. He was like, these digital assets that you create on this platform are just, you know, huge in terms of income streams. So yeah, I don't see why anyone would not want to do it.
It makes me laugh because I get approached by people for affiliates for software, and a lot of it is like lead gen software for LinkedIn, which I disagree with, so I won't take those on. But I regularly get an email from Canva telling me that somebody, oh, you've got a reward, Louise, and it's, the reward is a free image. I'm like, I pay for Canva anyway. That's just rubbish.
I don't like Canva. I started a YouTube channel with Canva and I called it Canva Collective, and they tried to sue me. They said I had to, their legal team told me
their, affiliate program, Matt, is rubbish. Like, honestly, I get like one or two a week and I'm like,
yeah,
just send me some money.
They used to have a great affiliate program and they just killed it. And like I said, I started this channel. It was a community-based channel. It was just to advocate their product, and their legal team said I couldn't use the word Canva in it. I was like, okay, I just won't do it then. Bye. Anyway, that's on record now on the podcast. So sorry, Canva, but we won't be friends ever, even though I love your product. Absolutely love the product. Thank you so much, Louise. Really appreciate your time for this. I really, really, Louise, just so you know, everyone, that Louise was the first person I asked to speak at TooFest, because when I was looking for speakers, the only person I could see speaking about YouTube in such a positive way all the time was Louise. And so I was delighted when you said yes at the start, and you immediately said yes. There was no conversation. I just asked you. And was like, yes.
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah. I think it's going to be so brilliant.
Good. Well, thank you so much. This episode will go out about 5 or 6 weeks before TooFest. So there's plenty of time to grab a ticket, and we've got the creative meetup. You can come and join us in our community as well. So thank you so much for your time, Louise. Looking forward to seeing you on May 23rd in Birmingham, and have a great rest of the week.
All right. You too. Thanks.
Bye-bye.